This episode of the Hard Men Podcast is brought to you by Joe Garrisey with Backwards Planning Financial, by Alpine Gold, by MaxD Trailers, by Salt and Strings Butchery, Private Family Banking, and by Premier Body Armor. Well, welcome to this episode of the Hard Men Podcast. I am your host, Eric Kahn, and very excited for today's show. We have a guest, which is Mr. Alex Stewart. He is the president of Premier Body Armor. We've been trying out some of their gear, including the Everyday Armor t-shirt bundle. They get a black version and a white version. You simply slide the level 3A protection into the front and into the back. It's been very comfortable for everyday wear. And so we're going to have a great conversation with Alex, how he got into that business, family business run with his dad, and really just an encouraging story. You know, I value body armor because, let's be honest, sometimes my Twitter feed is in need of someone wearing body armor. You never know. So that's something that we here at Refuge Church and the pastors have been trying out. It's been really comfortable on a daily wear basis. So definitely for men who are looking to provide, protect your family and want to up your body armor game, the Everyday Armor t-shirt 2.0 bundle is one really great way to go, especially for a comfortable everyday wear. So we encourage you guys to check that out. You can follow the link in the show notes for pricing and link to their website and all that good stuff. But we are going to jump into this conversation with Alex. I really loved it. You know, we're talking family. We're talking about masculinity. We're talking about the need to protect, all that good stuff. And it's just been such an encouragement to connect with so many like-minded people, Christians doing wonderful business, building for their communities. And so we're excited to be a part of that. And so now we are going to jump into that episode with Mr. Alex Stewart, president of Premier Body Armor. Well, welcome to this episode of the Hard Men Podcast. I'm your host, Eric Kahn, and joined today by a very special guest. We have Mr. Alex Stewart. He is the president of Premier Body Armor. Alex, thanks so much for joining me.
Oh, it's a pleasure to be here.
Alex, one of the things that you guys sent, which I think is probably the coolest thing that you make, hands down, is the Body Armor koozie. I don't know if people actually buy these?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we make them. It's a fun party favor. A lot of people buy them for groomsmen's gifts and that kind of thing. It's, you know, it really is bulletproof, but it's mostly just for fun.
It's going to protect your can in case you need it. Some of the other products you guys make are pretty impressive. We'll get into that in just a minute. But I kind of want to get some of the backstory on the company, how you guys got into that world. I know your dad was involved with it. And then obviously now you're the president. But how did you guys get into body armor?
Yeah, absolutely. He started Premier Body Armor, and my dad's Frank Stewart, by the way. He started Premier Body Armor in 2013. So we just celebrated 10 years as a company. Great milestone for us. Very exciting. But prior to that, he had a company called Ultra Machine and Fabrication. And it was a fabrication company. And they started out really small, just him in a shop, you know, making metal parts. And eventually he and his team managed to grow that company to do DOD defense contract work. So they ended up as subcontractors and prime contractors working on MRAPs and MATVs and other large armored vehicles that were getting shipped overseas to save warfighters' lives. So that was what he did for 25 years, roughly. And I grew up, you know, in middle school and high school, getting to go to the plant and watch all these trucks get welded together. And I did a little bit of work here and there on small components. So it was cool to see that that bigger type of business unfold. But under Obama, with sequestration, funding kind of went away. He started looking elsewhere, ended up selling Ultra and moving on from that. But right on the cusp of selling it, came up with a pretty revolutionary steel armor plate. And it was the first of its kind with a true sappy curve on it. So it mimicked a ceramic plate, but it was in a really hard armor steel. It was pretty revolutionary at the time, but it was just a little too expensive for the civilian market at the end of the day. Polyethylene plates were coming out around the same time, and they just took the market by storm. So that got us started, got our name out there, but we quickly moved into polyethylene plates and soft body armor and just really embraced the wearable armor side of the business rather than the vehicle armor side of the business.
So the steel plates that you were talking about, those were for vehicles?
No, they were built on the same technology we use for vehicles, same materials, same type of presses used, but just cut to shape for, you know, wearing on your chest.
Yeah, that's great. So do you guys, you know, the mix between military and then civilian use, what's the breakdown for you company-wise?
Yeah, good question. We immediately started out serving law enforcement, mainly small and medium-sized police departments. They were buying those plates and also our soft armor products. But this would have been, I joined going on 7 years ago. And at that point in time, we had, you know, a really old school website that was just locked down to law enforcement. You had to give credentials to get on there and everything. So when we opened up the website, that really just opened the floodgates for civilians to start checking out Premier Body Armor and considering us as, you know, another option. At the time, there was only a handful of companies selling body armor to civilians. All the big players in the body armor space, just they didn't do it then and they don't do it now. So that opened, when we opened up that website, it kind of gave civilians access to the technology that we had and the products we were making. And that kind of totally shifted that product mix from 100% law enforcement to now a majority of our company is based on civilian sales and service.
Yeah, it's really interesting because you see the uptick. You know, the time I've spent in the firearms industry, there's more of an uptick, and it's kind of twofold. One was sort of like, you know, 5'11 and working out, right? It was the guys who were doing CrossFit, but you just, let's be honest, you just look really cool when you're running down the streets with like body armor on. And they're like, no, it's for the added weight. Okay, that's cool. So there was that part of it too. But I also think like with John Lovell, Warrior Poet Society, as those guys kind of got going and encouraging guys in self-defense and preparedness and stuff like that, it seems like there was also a lot of uptick with, you know, guys were thinking through like, hey, what plate carrier do you have? You know, that sort of thing. Were you guys kind of seeing that same phenomenon happening?
Absolutely. We actually followed John Lovell for a little while and then started working with those guys, and they sold some armor mainly for backpacks at the time. This was several years ago, but yeah, like when him and several other people started talking about civilian applications of armor in a way that was actually practical, that totally changed the game. Everybody started thinking about armor not only in reference to a, you know, like go to war plate carrier rig, but really more of how can I take this practical piece of equipment with me everywhere. Cause there's, you know, some say there's more guns in this country than there are people. And whether or not that's true, there's a whole lot of them out there. And your likelihood of encountering one in a violent situation is not super high, but you know, a small investment lends a lot of peace of mind, and civilians really start to catch on to that truth and that concept. So that totally changed the game.
Well, it's really interesting too, because one of the things we talked about on this podcast is just Genesis 2:15, going back to men's role as a protector of the family, obviously provider, but a protector as well. And it seems like a lot of guys, you know, it's in their nature. So they resonate with that sort of quality of, yeah, I need to protect my family. I need to think through it. And it goes to a lot of things, you know, making your home, you know, hard to, making it a hard target, making it hard to break into, making sure you have a family preparedness plan, that sort of thing. It seems like with sort of what's going on in society too, you know, I've thought about this a lot of times. I'm like, well, we say some spicy things on Twitter from time to time. We've had some interesting people visit the church. So one of the things that I really like is you guys offer some really like daily wear concealment type options for people. That, you know, like we wear ours as pastors, we wear them under our suits. You know, we've worn them since we received them a couple of weeks ago, very comfortable, but you know, people can't really tell that you're wearing a, you know, a plate carrier or something like that. So talk about some of those options that you guys have developed for concealment.
Yeah, definitely. I think that's really what we're trying to be known for and we're trying to be experts at, because our area of expertise is not in the super tactical plate carriers and pouches and that kind of thing. We really, I mean, I push people towards brands like Cry Precision or Spear 2 Systems, Faro Concepts, those guys who have been out in the field overseas, they've done the operations, and they really know how to put a kit together that's going to operate in those tactical environments, you know, really, really well. So although we have some products that are great to get started in that area, and that are really quality, will last a long time, really what we're focused on is incorporating armor into the normal everyday life situation here stateside in a way that doesn't change your lifestyle at all, right? Like what you were referencing, our everyday armor t-shirt, it's our best-selling product because it offers you the ability to wear body armor without having to wear a vest, which has never really been a thing before. You would have to, you know, in the past you would have to put on a full soft armor vest or a really slick plate carrier with plates. But with the Everyday Armor t-shirt, it's basically like, think like an athletic fit Under Armour shirt with pockets in the front and back, and you put soft armor panels in there, and you've got protection from almost anything you would encounter on the street. You're not really going to encounter a rifle threat. It's just not that, it's just not that common. If you're going to encounter something, it's likely to be a common handgun round. And the Everyday Armor t-shirt does really well against that. So that and our backpack inserts and our laptop cases, we've kind of just taken soft armor and we cut it and shape it into different areas of your life. So you can take it with you everywhere you go. So you're always ready. That's kind of the idea, is to empower people to have armor no matter what. Like, I'm here inside of a big, I guess, meeting space inside of Raleigh, North Carolina. And I mean, I don't have a plate carrier or a bulletproof vest on right now, but I have a laptop case with me that's, you know, level 3A. So if someone, you know, God forbid, someone comes in this building with a handgun or a shotgun, I've got body armor right here in my bag and no one even knows.
Our sponsor, Private Family Banking Partners, is on a mission to help Christians live out the Dominion mandate by making a stealth-like move away from the mainstream banks and into their own privatized banking system. This innovative system is designed to guarantee uninterrupted compound interest and tax-free growth without exposure to typical stock market risks. To join this growing community that is already building wealth into future generations and converting post-mill talk into post-mill action, contact Private Family Banking partner Chuck De Laderante at his email, chuck@privatefamilybanking.com. Again, that's chuck@privatefamilybanking.com. To set up an appointment and to receive a free copy of Chuck's new book, Protect Your Money Now, How to Build Multi-Generational Wealth Outside of Wall Street and Avoid the Coming Banking Meltdown, go to the link in the show notes for more information.
As the saying goes, gold is the money of kings, silver is the money of gentlemen, but debt is the money of slaves. If you're tired of seeing your wealth sapped by the silent theft of inflation, consider adding gold to your financial plan. Gold and silver have been recognized as sound money and a store of wealth for centuries. Converting your savings into gold and silver will protect and preserve your wealth so that one day you'll be able to pass down a true inheritance to your children's children. That's where our friends at Alpine Gold Exchange come in, offering 0% buy-sell spread, gold leases with up to 3.5% annual return, paid in gold, by the way, and secure vaulting right here in Utah. Alpine Gold approaches every transaction with fairness, honesty, and respect, reflecting a strong Christian business ethic in all that they do. Head to ogden.gold today or tap the link in the description to sign up or schedule an appointment to speak with an Alpine Gold advisor today and see what would best serve your family. And just so you know, if you schedule a call, you'll be speaking with Jace, Ethan, or Stu, three members of Refuge Church right here in Ogden. Head to ogden.gold and check it out today.
Yeah, no, it's exceptionally helpful, I think, having multiple options for people too as well. One of the things I noticed with the Everyday Armor t-shirt, obviously you get two colors, which is nice, the black and the white. The panels are not exceptionally heavy. It's got to be like under a pound or something for each
one. Yeah, roughly a pound.
Okay. Talk me through that material. You mentioned handgun rounds, but for people who don't understand the rating system, what is this protecting against?
Yeah, good question. Ironically, I'm here in Raleigh right now because the rating system is about to change, and I'm not here for a meeting for that. But the still active current standard is called NIJ 06 right? So it's the National Institute of Justice. They've had six iterations of their ballistic testing standard. They developed this for the sake of law enforcement agencies, not necessarily for civilians. But as the standard for law enforcement or military goes, you know, so goes civilian market as well. So right now it's all 06, right? It's moving to 07, but that won't be probably till next year. So right now with soft armor, concealable products, you've got basically two levels to consider, level 2 or level 3A. Level 2 is going to stop everything that a level 3A will, except level 3A adds on a couple rounds. And level 3A is the one that's really common, so we can talk about that. That's what all of our concealable armor for civilians is made of. And it stops up to a 44 Magnum and 357 SIG. And then, of course, it'll do like 12-gauge slugs and buckshot. It's special threat tested for a couple extra rounds, like Liberty Civil Defense 9mm, which is really hot, and a couple other things. So those two levels are really what's applicable in soft armor these days, with level 3A being the stronger of the two.
So 3A is what's in the armor t-shirt and in the laptop case?
Yep, that's right, exactly. And that's made for us. We make those out of Kevlar, typically, you know. DuPont, Kevlar, or a similar rolled materials from a different manufacturer. But they're all using, you know, lightweight U.S. sourced material in our ballistic packages. And that's why we get consistent performance. And it's cool. It keeps all the labor here in the U.S. and all that good stuff.
Yeah, one of the other things I like about it, too, is it's got some flexibility to it. So in terms of comfort, everyday wear, you know, you're bending over, you're picking stuff up, you're plugging your laptop in, whatever it is. I felt like the movement was really good and a really important part. Obviously, you got the moisture wicking fabric as well. So in terms of comfort, that was kind of one of the things that I always look at is, you know, with anything concealed carry, you got to be able to do it on a kind of a daily basis in your job or wherever you're using it. And so it's got to be comfortable. So that's got to be something that, you know, with all this stuff, you guys think quite a bit about, I imagine, is just comfort and everyday wear.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's, of course, you know, you can get into really, really premium armor packages. Like we have one, our elite executive vest, for example, it's at least 30% lighter than, like, the ballistic package is 30% lighter than what you would have in an everyday armor t-shirt, but it's nearly twice the price, right? So that's like a shopping tip, I guess you'd say, is consider when you're considering body armor, it's all about, you know, stopping power and weight. The ratio of the two things really is what drives price.
Yeah, absolutely. On the concealable armor vest, still 3A, it's got side panels somewhat on that as well.
On the concealable armor vest? Yeah, it's a full wraparound vest. Okay. So you get 360 degrees of coverage.
Yeah, and I think a lot of this stuff, it's rated for knives as well, too, isn't it?
Yeah, to an extent. Naturally, Kevlar is extremely slash resistant, no doubt there. You're not gonna slice through it with anything. But it is not specifically designed for highly, highly edged weapons, like, let's say, a needle or an ice pick or just a really, really sharp and tiny pointed blade. That kind of stuff just has a way of just sneaking through the weaves. So it's a whole different weave pattern to do like rated stab armor.
Yeah, absolutely. And then the panels, are they pretty similar to or the same as what's going in the laptop case, backpack application?
Yeah. Yeah. So we typically use the same ballistic package across all of our level 3A solutions. So we get that consistent performance no matter which product you choose. And then we do offer, like I mentioned, the Elite Executive Vest, for example, in a lighter weight, more flexible material. So that's available too in some solutions.
Have the backpack laptop cases, has that been a pretty good seller for you?
Definitely.
Guys?
It's the easiest one to get into, right? A lot of people don't want to spend a bunch of money on a vest, like a full-on vest that they might not wear very often. But to spend $200 on a backpack insert that protects against handguns and shotguns and lasts for at least 5 years, I mean, to me, that's a great deal. You know, I hope it is for our customers.
Yeah, no, absolutely. One of the things I want to ask you about, obviously, working in a family business, kind of what was that process for you like? Did you know that that was something that you wanted to do? How did that come about for you?
It's a funny story. I went to Gardner Webb University, which is a small Christian school outside of Shelby, North Carolina, just up the road from where I grew up. And I actually studied discipleship. That was my major, discipleship studies. And when I graduated, that was my major, and my minor was in ceramics and pottery. And my dad was like, hey, what are you planning on doing with that? I was like, well, I don't know. I don't think I'm going to be able to support a family with the pottery thing. And I don't really feel called to be a pastor at this point. So he's like, well, why don't you come work for me? You know, I'm getting this thing going with body armor. And I was like, you know what? That sounds cool. I was getting married soon, you know, right after college, my wife and I got married. And, you know, so I said, let's give it a shot. So started out in shipping and assembly, putting like basically magazine pouches together. And then did that for a while and then moved over to the website side of things and then into sales. And then started being, from there I went, became the vice president of the company, kind of running day to day under his supervision, I suppose. And then eventually, 2 years ago, became the president of the company, which is the office that I hold now. So that's kind of how I got into it. Couldn't say no to my dad, I suppose.
it's probably, you know, in terms of provision, I'm not saying that you can't make a lot of money in pottery, but it seems like this is a-
Well, I went to like a pottery conference per se, and I heard from one of the guys who was one of the top names in the style, I suppose, that I would want to be in wood fired, you know, handmade pottery. And he's been doing it at that point for 30 years plus. And he looked at everybody in the class and said, you know, if you want to have any chance of success being a potter, you're going to be working at least 60 hours a week for the rest of your life. And I was like, man, that does not sound conducive to family life. And I mean, the guy loved it, right? It was his passion. It was his gifting. He was one of the best, you know, in the world at it. So I could see why he did it. And I was okay, but not that good.
Yeah. You gotta be all in on the pottery end of that. Makes total sense. As you work with your dad, you know, we talk a lot about like multi-generational people working together. I guess like what stands out leadership lessons that, you know, I'm sure from, we're all kind of in that boat. You graduate college, you're like, what do I want to do in my life? But it really is important that you have people around you who are forming leadership and in those qualities. So I'm just curious, like what lessons have you picked up along the way from him?
Oh man, too many to talk about in one episode. It's been a blessing. I count it truly as one of God's greatest blessings to me, besides my wife and children that I've gotten to work with my dad every day for so many years now. A couple of things that come to mind would be, I think my dad is known for putting people first, which is an easy thing to talk about, I think, but I've just seen him actually put it to work so often. You know, he's so patient with his employees. Him and my mom were, of course, the Lord blessed them with business success, but they shared that with their employees. Things like, at one point in time, they offered a health clinic at Ultra. You know, this is back in the day, and it was completely free to employees, but not only employees, but to their whole family as well. So they could come in and, you know, they could do checkups, they could get prescriptions there, the whole nine yards, and they did that all for free. And then I got to watch them, you know, bless people with cars many times over. People needed new vehicles. They paid for funerals. There's just so much stuff that they were able to, I guess, put their money where their mouth is, right? Per se, if the Lord blesses you and you're able to do that kind of thing, and you don't do it, then you're probably not stewarding what the Lord has given you very well. But I'm grateful that I got to see someone else do that and model that, so that if the Lord decides to bless me and my family as well in that way, I'm looking forward to doing that. And then, of course, I mentioned his patience. He's really patient. That's one of the big things I've learned from him is in business, not everything happens overnight, right? Some things surprise you, you know, and you get big success out of nowhere. But a lot of things take time, you know, a relationship that you that you establish today, or someone that you choose not to ignore today, right? Someone that you're kind to 2 years later, may be the thing that really helped you. And then when I, I would say 3-4 years ago, I was so impatient with, let's say, like affiliate or ambassador relationships, right? We would meet somebody and they weren't interested in working with us. And I was like, what do you mean? Like, it's us, like it's Premier. It's, you know, I was bleeding Premier, right? And they just weren't yet. But I wasn't the mouthpiece, right? My dad was. And instead of being impatient, like I was tempted to be, you know, and having much more experience than I had, you know, he understood and he was kind to them. And now a lot of those people, we're friends with, you know, they come to our booth at SHOT Show. They know us by name. It's big hugs. We don't have to pay them tons and tons of money for them to be excited about doing something because they know they have the relationship with us. And so, you know, everybody has relationships is big in business. And that's just true. You know, it's one of those cliche things that is actually true. So I would say, take care of your people, be really patient, trust the Lord to provide over time and work hard, obviously. And then, you know, never overlook anyone in business. You just never know who the Lord is going to raise up over the years. You might need them in your court or want them in your court at some point.
Yeah, that's awesome. It also seems like a big part of the company, your life is family. And, you know, that's one of the challenges in business is wanting to go hard in the paint, but making time for that as well. I guess just talk about some of the examples that were set and what you've tried to do on the family front to make sure that, you know, not only you, but I'm sure your employees as well, you know, have room to tend to their families, that sort of thing.
We definitely try not to extend work beyond work hours as much as possible. Some of my people might disagree. So don't go asking them, or maybe you should, but we do try to respect that. We don't call each other a bunch after hours and stuff. We also, something that's cool, I guess maybe a humble brag or whatever, we were able to, by the Lord's, you know, blessing us last year and, you know, just solidifying our business moving forward, we were able to open up some of our benefits this year for our team. And one of the things that we're doing that I'm really excited about is helping families with newborns. So we're helping provide diapers and some extra funding just to offset some of the costs when any of our employees have children. Because we've always said that families are important, but we really wanted to reinforce that by, you know, just putting some funds out there and helping people along the way. That's definitely one way we're doing it.
Yeah, no, absolutely. As you think about it too, like, you know, the country where everything is at, you know, it seems like, I'm sure that every time period has this, but, you know, turmoil, I think they, yesterday, right? We had the Super Bowl parade. There's a shooting at the Super Bowl parade.
Yeah,
people
that's
are
right.
thinking about those things. I guess, how do you think about it in terms of, obviously, you know, there could be the encouragement. Yeah. You know, have body armor, be prepared, whatever. But as you think about raising sons in this generation, I guess, what are some of the unique challenges that you see as you look around?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I don't want to act like I'm an expert in this at all because I feel like I'm learning now from, you know, Joe Rigney. I'm reading Wilson. I'm trying to gain all the wisdom I can because my sons are so young. I have a 4-year-old and a 15-month-old.
It's a good time to start.
Yeah, it's great. Well, I'm so grateful for them. It's so fun to have two young boys in the house, and they're wild and full of energy. But I can see in them a desire to be strong, to be courageous, to protect. You know, my oldest son talks about protecting his mom and, you know, even keeping his younger brother safe and that kind of thing. So I think the encouraging piece, I think the thing that I would say is that I think there's evidences that I see all the time, my boys, that the Lord did build men for protecting not only their family, but their community around them. And in light of that, we need to think about carefully how we, I guess, live out that dominion mandate from the Lord and that gifting from him for men to be protectors and providers. So when I think about my sons, I'm trying to think in those terms as much as I possibly can. just to help them be prepared mentally and even in their theology to be ready for what the future holds. I don't think there's a hopeless future in front of them, but I do think they're called by God to honor him by being bold and courageous. So I need to help them with that.
Yeah, absolutely. One of the things you mentioned, just kind of people that you've, you know, Doug Wilson, Joe Rigney, a lot of people we love, we've had them on the podcast, really encouraging. I'm curious in terms of books, literature, what have you read that has impacted you? What sort of has shaped you?
It's good to be a man. It's great. I can tell you what I'm reading right now. Anything in the past is kind of blurry at the moment. Yeah. Right now I'm reading the, you know, based on y'all's recommendation, I grabbed Ibrahim. Actually, I ended up grabbing his second. Yeah, I ended up grabbing his second book on accident, Defenders of the West.
Which is great.
But yeah, man, it's awesome. I'm not very far into it, but I'm learning things that I've never heard of before, which is crazy to think that I have to relearn all the history that I learned, you know, in school. It feels like that in some ways. But I'm grateful that I'm doing that now so that I can teach my boys this stuff later on. Also, I just started Confessional County by Raymond Simmons. Really interested in that one. I've always been interested in politics, but it's hard to reconcile the concept of politics and, you know, having a bold Christian faith in this day and age. It's just so, everybody thinks it's so counter, you know, that things don't go well together. So that's, I'm digging into that one. I'm curious there. You know, my wife and I attend, and our sons attend the Northox Presbyterian Church in Lowell, North Carolina, which is in Gaston County. And all the men in the church are reading John Calvin's Institutes this year, which is a big lift. So I'm excited about that one. I don't know how many pages I'm in, maybe 100 pages or so. But man, the guy just, he thought through his theology and applied it to everyday life so well. So I'm really encouraged right now by reading that. And then, of course, throwing in some fiction in there. Me and a couple of buddies are in the Fellowship of the Ring right now, moving through that. So, yeah, all the good stuff, hopefully.
Do you guys know that I'm going to be turning 40 this year?
What?
What?
Yeah, looking back, one of my biggest regrets is that I didn't know the basics of investing. That whole world was foreign to me. And I didn't know where to go to get help. The thing is, I missed decades of opportunities to build inheritances for my kids and to take care of my wife and me in retirement.
You know what, Dan? I'm in somewhat of the same spot, except I still have all my hair. My eyes glaze when people talk about IRAs, life insurance, and tax strategies. But not only that, Dan, I don't have time to sit at my desk, study stock market charts, and read tax codes.
You guys may be older than me, but it's not too late, even at your geriatric age, to get help. Joe Garrisey with Backwards Planning Financial is helping all of us with our financial planning. He is a Christian man who works with one of the largest and most trusted financial service companies in the world.
You know, that's part of why I regret not doing this earlier. Joe helped me to see the opportunities I missed, and he developed a plan for my family based on my goals. Joe has made himself available at all hours of the day to help me.
Whether you have millions in assets or just starting to invest, Joe Garrisey will help you reach your goals to grow the kingdom and leave a good legacy for your generations.
Visit backwardsplanningfinancial.com. That's backwardsplanningfinancial.com or call 615-767-2555 to speak with Joe to prepare for the future.
Here at the Hard Men Podcast, you know I'm a huge supporter of men who value hard-nosed hard work. Our country is literally built on the backs of men who have carried the weight of responsibility for their families and driven the economy forward. That's why I'm so excited to join forces with Max D. Trailers, a Texas-based and family-owned company, to bring you this episode. I'm proud to partner with Max D. to see the vision of New Christendom established one small business at a time. Max D builds innovative, hardworking trailers for the builders, fixers, and growers of the world. The company proudly supports blue-collar haulers, men whose businesses depend on Max D trailers.
You can follow their stories by checking out Max D Trailers on Instagram or by visiting the link in the show notes. Learn more about Max D Trailers by visiting maxdtrailers.com, where you can check out the article, 10 Ways to Make Money with Your Trailer.
Yeah, that's awesome. I remember for years, I would hear like pastors would always be like, it was basically like they were quoting from either Chronicles of Narnia or Lord of the Rings. Yeah. And I was ashamed till I was like, I don't know, I was probably college before I had ever actually read any of it. And I was like, why are they always quoting this? They seem kind of obsessed. And then I started reading it. And then now I do the same thing. So it's good. And it's nice, too, I think, because as we think about particularly for sons, I'm just amazed. You know, my boys are just a little bit older. My oldest is 16. My youngest is 12. And then we have a 14-year-old. But it's amazing how many of the concepts get into their hearts through story. You know, that like I could sit them down and be like, well, theologically, you know, you should provide and you should protect. But then we tell them a story of like Jan Sobieski and the Charge of the Winged Hussars. And it's like, you can see, you know, I was talking to Pastor Dan about this just a little bit ago. And he goes, yeah, I played the Sabaton song, Winged Hussars, and we listened to that. And then I told my boys the story. And he said, within like the next 3 hours, like four times, they were like, tell me the story again. I want to know that story again. Because it just gets into their bones, you know? And I think that's a huge part of it is having examples of men in history who were valiant defenders of Christianity and Christendom and the church, but also of their nations and the way that they viewed godliness or piety in terms of, you know, defense, arm, you know, and it's often it was armed defense. So I think that's just such a cool thing for the kids as well, where, you know, my boys, fortunately, you know, they grew up kind of reading that stuff and hearing those stories. And then now it's cool just to see that that's something that still kind of inspires them.
Yeah, that's awesome. I've been playing this storytelling game with Charlie, my oldest, where it's just a back and forth, right? I'll start a story and I'll just stop right before, you know, the high point, and then he'll finish it off. And then I'll go again and then he'll finish it off. And it's like, he always goes towards like slaying something or climbing a mountain or like, I'm like, yeah, keep going. This is good.
Yeah. That's so great. Yeah. I love it. It makes me think too, you know, one of the things we talk a lot about here is, you know, legacy. You know, what kind of legacy do you want to leave to your kids? And we'll generally say, you know, faith, wealth, and culture are three of the main things that we want to impart to our sons, you know, from Refuge Church, and but also just from our own families and who the men are. As you think about legacy, you're early in the game, but you've got some good examples behind you as well with your father. What are you thinking about in terms of business, legacy, what kind of men you want your sons to be?
It is something that we talk about a lot because it's me and two brothers, right? And then my dad. So he has three sons that he's attempting to do this with as well. So I'm getting to see it in, you know, three generational at the same time, which is cool. It's my, and actually, you know, I shouldn't leave out my grandfather as well. He lives in Colombia, South America. But my dad goes to see him all the time. And right now he's watching, you know, all the generations beneath him carry on what legacy that he's leaving behind. So it is something that we're conscious of. I think maybe just because we have only boys in our family right now, we don't, and we're, you know, we're called to lead that charge. So it's definitely on my mind. And I think right now for us, our focus on with our boys is really just twofold. It's obedience to me and my wife right now, along with respect. Those two things kind of go together, respecting his elders. And then the second is just instilling good theology from day one. We're heavily leaning on catechisms and just straight reading Bible verses as often as we can. We're about to start doing a formal family worship where it's, you know, we're shooting for once a week. Something I'd never heard of before, right? I'd never heard of family worship. I grew up in the Southern Baptist Church. Like that's, we went to church on Sunday and then, you know, I go to youth group on Wednesday and that was pretty much the extent of family worshiping activity, right? But you know, at a, we joined the Presbyterian church that we go to, and it's family worship is talked about. You know, I think it's awesome. Like, what a great way to carry on, not only carry on, but set the foundation of worshiping God regularly with good theology, and then carrying that on throughout every week, you know, even multiple days a week, not just on Sunday. That makes it more normative in your life. It gets God and good theology on your mind throughout the week. So we're trying to, you know, start with the basics with our sons right now at their age. And then looking ahead, I think our next step with Charlie, our oldest, is going to be just education, finding a right education setting. We've considered homeschooling. I don't think it's for us right now with where we're at with our busyness, I suppose. But we're looking for good classical Christian schools in the area, or even just Christian schools in the area. And that's going to be the next piece there.
Yeah, it's so exciting. I mean, we're just thinking about that. You mentioned something like family worship, which, as you said, like, I didn't grow up necessarily with that either. We had, you know, youth group, that sort of thing. But it's amazing to me, because when I started, I had an older pastor tell me, he said, you know, your kids are little, they're, you know, in diapers. And he said, you'll be amazed what they can actually pick up from you. So just read the scriptures faithfully, do the catechism. And it was surprising to me, because I remember thinking, like, oh, there's a lot of questions in the catechism, Westminster, it's hard, whatever. And then, like, my kids are like 5, 6, 7, 8, you know, and now, like, they come home and they're like, Dad, I would like to pray the Lord's Prayer in Latin and then in Greek. And I'm like, oh. and it's good, because part of it is like, we want our sons to outshine us. And they're like, you know this, right? In Greek. And I'm like, not per se, like all of it or any of it, but I'm going to work on that now that you guys have
That's
done that.
Awesome.
So it's just such an encouragement. And then you think about, like, that stuff seeps into them on a daily basis. Even where, you know, they're able to sing certain psalms, they know them by heart, they've learned them in school, we've learned them in church, same psalm settings. So it's just a really cool thing to see how it shapes their minds and hearts. And then as they get older, we start talking about things like mission. And, you know, as the boys have gotten older, like reading Michael Foster's book, as you mentioned, It's Good to Be a Man, and starting to get them to think about things. But because all that foundation has been set, it all kind of makes sense to them. Right, it's not like a foreign language you're trying to speak to them. You're saying, guys, you got to have a mission. What are you going to do to provide for a wife? This is what we're aiming at. And then as my boys have gotten older, it's really cool. I got this tip actually from interviewing Joel Beakey, and he's sort of, you know, he's a pastor, but he's taught a lot on family worship. And he said, yeah, just as the boys get older, I'll walk them through prayer, you know, kind of whisper in their ear. And then, you know, eventually they get to the point where they're able to do portions of it. But now, you know, I've got a 16-year-old, and I tell him, I said, okay, well, like, treat this like this is, you know, the family that you're going to raise. Like, how are you going to lead your brothers through the catechism, go through the questions, being equipped for that, so that you don't, I mean, fatherhood is a daunting and enough task. I don't know if you ever felt this way, but I stepped into it. I remember going home from the hospital with my first son, and I was like, they just let us take him. Like they're leaving us part of this human.
Are you coming with me home, nurse? Because this is not going to be.
I'm not sure I know what I'm doing. I don't know if I'm qualified for this. And there's just so much you have to learn. So anyway, yeah, it's a really cool. It's a cool part of the process, I think. And then, you know, like you said, being able to do that with your kids from a young age is really, really powerful.
Yeah, that first day coming home from the hospital, that was tough. But really, for me, it was the whole first year. It was like the idea of, it's funny how exposing it was of my immaturity and of my sin, having young baby there that just demands so much of you, just like we did of our parents, of course, all babies do. It exposed so much of my masculine sin. And I don't mean that in a good way. I mean, my tendency towards anger, for example, or frustration, you know, like selfishness of, man, this baby's waking me up again. Like, I got to go to work tomorrow. Like, I need to sleep, you know, but like, yeah, but it was in those really hard nights that eventually, and I'm not saying that it happened right away, but the Lord humbled me and brought me through the other side. And now with our second son, although he has slept much better, I will say, which is great. I haven't had as much temptation towards frustration and anger whenever I hear him cry in the middle of the night and I have to wake up. And the Lord softened my heart and reminded me that he's a blessing to us. This is not a curse and not a hardship that's it's not worth doing, right? This hardship that is worth it, that's going to be a blessing for many years to come. So
yeah, that's awesome. Well, and I think a big part of it too, like when we had our first two boys, especially, I think within like 2 years of that, I went back to my parents and I was like, I'm so sorry. Like I was you guys did so much work. I didn't even appreciate it. But as you kind of go through that process, you realize, yeah, like dad worked for a lot of years. And I remember my dad was a coal miner when I was little, and I would come home and I now understand like what it took for him. Cause I'd be like, dad, let's throw the football. Dad, let's wrestle. And he would do it every time. And I look back at that and I'm like, what a saint that man. Cause you know, like coal mining is like a physical job too. And even when I get home from the office, I'm like, you know, the kids now, even at 16 and 14, they're like, dad, we want to wrestle. And I'm like, oh, I'm old. I'm almost 40. Okay. I can't do this. But I think my dad, and I think, you know what, get in there and do it and play with your kids. And that's a wonderful, wonderful thing.
That's a great point. That's an awesome example of generational wisdom being passed down. You know, your dad had the guts and the strength and the courage, I guess, to push through that annoyance. Which seems like a little thing when you talk about it now, but in the moment, it's so compelling that you say, you know what? I'm not going to wrestle right now. I'm going to do whatever I want. But man, that's awesome that he did it and that now you're doing it. And now your sons will have an example for them to do it too when they have kids one day. So that's just such a small but awesome example of the generational aspect that we're talking about.
The encouragement for a lot of guys, I always go back to like somebody like Samwise Gamgee. You know, we've talked about this recently in our office. But I said, you know what? It amazes me that Sam defeated the ring by saying, look, I'm not made to rule kingdoms. I just have to tend to my garden and my own little patch of land that, you know, and we would say that the Lord has given us. And I think it's an encouragement. There's so many guys where it's like, you're not going to be Elon Musk. You're not going to be, you know, a world leader. You're not going to be Tucker Carlson interviewing Putin or something like that, you know, but you can make a difference simply by doing those small things of lead in family worship, play with your kids. Love your wife, be patient, you know, all of those things. And that really does, if everybody will do that, it makes a really tremendous difference in culture and in society and the way things go. I also think it's interesting as you guys think about with Premier Body Armor, you've been at it a while. You're almost a decade, right?
Yeah, me, I'm going on 7 years.
Okay. So as you think about the next 10 years of the company, what you guys want to accomplish, what sorts of things are on you guys' mind?
I would say what's on our mind is really just staying true to the fact that we want to offer a line of products that are actually practical to people. We really don't want to get consumed by the notion that everyone is a soldier, you know, because it's just not true. Like, yes, there could be a day when every civilian needs to, you know, put up arms. And hey, I'll be right there with you, defending my family too. But I think our niche, our area of expertise is more in the everyday landscape. So I really want to, as we expand our company, as we expand our products, we expand our team, to make sure that we stay true to the core focus of providing protective solutions to civilians in their everyday life. Yeah, that's what we're good at. I think that's what we're the best at. Honestly, I don't think anyone is better than us at that specific goal. So long-term, I think we should stick with that.
Yeah, I think it's really helpful. One of the things when we started New Christendom Press, we hit it off with podcasts. And Dan and I happened to be reading through a bunch of Jim Collins stuff. And I think it's in Great by Choice. But there was this line where he said, you know, obviously your hedgehog principle, you want to figure out what you're the best at the world at, what you love doing, what you're passionate about, all that stuff. But that one question of like, what's the one thing that we're really good at? And so we said, well, right now it's like podcasting, podcast studios, right? Like that goes really well. But I love the line from Jim Collins where he said, you know, companies are always thinking about how can we grow? How can we expand? And you're thinking about the next thing. And he said, oftentimes the next great thing is the thing you already have. And it was, I mean, it seems simple, but it was so pivotal just to say, like, don't chase a bunch of crazy, you know, don't try and do a million things kind of half-heartedly. But if you can just do one thing really, really well and execute on that, it's amazing how far you can take a company. And you know, he's talking about it, Jim Collins is, in the context of like 30-year top performing companies. What do they do that other companies don't? And a lot of the answer to the question was they don't chase shiny objects. They don't try to do a million things. Yeah. They figure out what they're good at and they just keep repeating that process.
Yeah, the company that comes to mind when you say that are some friends of ours at T-Rex Arms. And I'll just brag on them for a second because what they are really good at is education. They are just excellent at taking any product line, any theme of products in the tactical space and providing the best researched information to their customer base that they can't, you just can't get it anywhere else better than they do it. I've been to their facility. I mean, not to mention that their holsters are awesome, but they're really good at answering all your questions before you even have them with the historical background and everything. So I think, and they've never left that. They've always stuck with it, you know? I think that captures what you're talking about for sure. Like, I don't see that changing for them, even though they've added tons and tons of products to their catalog and they're doing so well. They're still focused on educating their customer base. And I love that.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah, we had Lucas on the show. Great conversation. His brother's great as well, Isaac. And just, yeah, I think it's just an encouragement to see other companies doing that well, loving their people, taking care of people. I think that's another thing that they do kind of behind the scenes that is really cool to see, you know, Christian people doing great work. Yeah, it's a blessing to people, which is, I think, why it's so. Alex, I would want to point our listeners to obviously the website, premierbodyarmor.com. They can check out some of the products as well. Is that the best way for people to make a purchase from you guys?
Yeah, absolutely. And reach out to our customer service, info@premierbodyarmor.com. If you have any questions, somebody's always monitoring that phone during business hours. And there's a chat and email, of course. If you have any questions you want to ask me directly, you can. It's just alex@premierbodyarmor.com. I'd love to have a conversation. Check it out. See if it holds up to your needs.
Awesome. Well, we definitely love our product. It's been really good. I know the guys have been wearing it. And I think one other thing, I think you said to size, was it size up or take the bigger size?
Size down.
Size down. Okay. Okay.
Yeah,
size down. You'll have plenty of space. Mine fit perfectly. So
awesome. Yeah. You want that Everyday Armor t-shirt to fit tight, pull the armor into your body. But yeah, thanks for giving it a try. I'm glad you guys like it.
Yeah, absolutely. We appreciate you. And thanks for coming on the show. We'll, of course, have links in the show notes. Encourage people to check out premierbodyarmor.com. You can follow the link in the show notes as well. Alex, thanks again for coming on the show.
Thanks, Eric.
Well, thanks again for listening to this episode of the Hard Men Podcast. And special shout out to our Patreon supporters. If you're not yet a Patreon supporter, you can join today for as little as $5 a month, and that definitely helps keep this work going. We are glad to partner with you for content that builds a new Christendom and reclaims biblical masculinity at the same time. You can check the show notes for the link to become a Patreon supporter of the Hard Men Podcast today. Stay frosty, fight the good fight, act like men.